Oh my, this is weird. It's the news. Well, the news isn't weird. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, maybe the news is weird. I don't know. Could be weird news. Weird. Everything's weird these days. Good morning. It is Friday, August 2nd, 7:57 a.m. 7:57 and 53 seconds. I just looked at that. It was interesting. Anyway, you have second day of August, Friday. Tomorrow is Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, folks. We are 2024, by the way, in case you're wondering what year it is. Because it's... You haven't slipped into a time machine. It's not a dream. The show might be, it seemed like a dream to you because, you know, it's just such a dreamy show. It's wonderful. We have so much going on. This chair is starting to make more noises than it used to. Have you noticed that in the background? There's like this clocking sound. Hear that? That's my chair, my back of my chair. It's got to change. Can't do voiceovers without clacking around back there. We have so much to talk about, so much that's interesting that the world needs to know. A couple things I want to cover today. Yesterday's show was way long, went way long. I had the feeling today's show is going to go long as well. I've got some video clips, audio of the video clips. I'm going to play the video. You can't see it because it's not Rumble yet. However, we have... A lot happening today. So we have the main thing we got to cover. The first thing right off the bat, we got to start with this. We got chai in the cup, and we got Almond Joy creamer. And yes, I spent all day yesterday making myself some homemade sweet tea. It didn't take all day. In fact, I just made it right before lunch. But I spent all day tasting it, making sure it was okay, and it's been good. I'm still tasting it today. A little bit too much. I must have put too much ice in it. The ice is melted. This is from yesterday. My cup is from yesterday. It's my backup cup. What happens with this is, it's being the tea connoisseur that I am, I have, if you put a lot of ice in the tea, and then you allow that ice to melt, and you don't really disturb the tea at all. You just kind of leave the cup there. This is if you have a covered cup, of course. Keep it in your refrigerator. When you go to drink your first sip, the ice that has melted, actually the water, tends to stay at the top. It doesn't mix with the suspended particles. Now so you have to kind of stir it up again to get that water. Of course, now it's kind of a watered down tea, but it's just the same. It's still good. So that first sip tastes like water. And so you got to get that, you know, got to get that stirred up a little bit there again. So it's just kind of a pointer. That's your tea tip for the day. Tea tip Tuesdays. I should have like Tuesdays. I should make tea tip Tuesdays. Tuesdays tea tips. It could be a podcast all of its own. I don't know if any of you noticed this. This happened last week. Now, I know that Kamala Harris said this, and everybody started jumping in. And I don't know who came up with the... I think it becomes very obvious that there are talking points flowing down from the top. Now, this is... Speaking of... Oh, my gosh, there's so much to talk about. We have... the other day... I saw this video clip, and it always kind of stood out to me when I heard this. Joe Biden said, "We need to be more diverse and inclusive," and blah 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 blah, and all this stuff. And it starts at the top with the vice president. Because everybody's talking about whether or not Kamala is a DEI hire, a diversity, equity, inclusion hire. By the way, when you say DEI, that's not a definition. You don't define DEI. Well, it's diversity, equity, inclusion. That's literally what it means. Well, define it. And this is something that we're going to talk about this whole thing with the President Trump had with the Jornos. Because he makes some really good points. Now, there's a couple things that he said. It was kind of a little bit difficult to understand a couple things that he said, but I think he walked away from that thing winning some points in the black community. One is that he showed up. Kamala did not even show up. And he makes a point of saying that. And they have these issues. He gave them an hour of his time. He showed up on time, which in Chicago is not easy to do, by the way. To show up in time, you know, on time in Chicago means you got to be there an hour early. To take time, you know, you're spending, it's a great expense to get him to travel there. I'm sure they didn't pay for his travel to get there. Whereas Kamala's would have been free. Nothing came out of her pocket to get there, but she wasn't there. Donald Trump has to pay for that out of his campaign funds. Kamala can travel as the VP to an event like that. Which, you know, who knows who's really in charge of the country right now? I'm sure that they're, you know, treating her like the president now behind closed doors. I'm sure that is happening. And I'm sure they're getting an earful of what she's really like. I think almost 90% of her cabinet has resigned, quit, or been fired over the last 3 years. And of course, they're excusing it by saying, well, it's just really tough working for a black woman because of the fire, the heat that you're under from everybody else around you. Oh, really? Because everybody around you isn't Democrats. You're surrounding yourself with Republicans? Is that what you're doing? It's just this weird excuses. First of all, weird. I'm going to use the word weird today. Today's word brought to you today by the word weird. That's the sponsor of today's show. And what I want to get at here is this, where does this come from? Because you have to realize the Democrats are taking our orders from the top. It starts at the top with the vice president. Not with me. Nope. Old white man guy. Old white man here. I'm not stepping aside until I get threatened by Obama and Schumer and Pelosi and others around me. Top Democrats. Whisked me off to a room with a bright light and a rubber hose. Put me in a chair. Told me that if I don't step down in my campaign, they're going to 25th me. We'll get into that. Well, let's just talk about that. I guess what I'm hearing is from insiders. There's some people who leak this stuff. Apparently, that's what happened when they whisked him off because he had COVID. Who knows whether he really had COVID or not? He doesn't even know if he had COVID or not. He might have just had another cold and said, yeah, you got COVID. We got to get you out of here. We got to get you back to wherever it was they took him to this. Disappeared for 5 days. Wasn't wearing a mask, though. Because, you know, he's vaccinated. Everybody around him is vaccinated. So they didn't have to worry about getting COVID. You know, like, because he had COVID. So they whisk him off somewhere. And he, all of a sudden, you know, the day before, he's talking about how much he's running. And that's final. That's it. I'm the candidate. I got the delegates. Next day, I'm passing the torch. I'm tweeting out. I'm not going to get up in front of the cameras. This is a pretty major announcement to be doing over X, over Twitter. pretty big deal for a president, sitting president, who's not going to run again, to step down from his candidacy over Twitter and not give really any explanation why. Some really good points were made, and this is where I was trying to go with this as well. This is the way I looked at it. I couldn't articulate it quite as well, but it was articulated very well by someone who was an insider with the leftists for a long time, and he's left. I can't remember his name. I think he was on Tucker Carlson. I can't remember who I heard talk about this. He said, you know, the problem with this is, the insider story is that Obama led this coalition with Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Joaquin Jeffries, and some other very high-profile Democrats who were all there. Some of them physically, some of them just on the phone call. And apparently threatened Joe Biden that if he didn't step down, that they were going to 25th Amendment him. Now, the way I understand the 25th Amendment to work, it has to be invoked by the VP. And the cabinet has to be the one who presents it. In other words, everybody has to be behind this. Everybody in his or her cabinet, the president's cabinet, including the VP, have to be the ones who instigate this. This is the reason they didn't do this to Donald Trump in 4 years. They did not invoke the 25th Amendment because they don't have the power to do so. Congress does not have the power to do so. They can imply, and they tried many times. They tried to suggest that Donald Trump needed to be, he's crazy, he's wacky. The 25th Amendment needs to be. They can't make it happen. The way I understand it is, it has to come from the VP and the cabinet. Or we can't just have some other political party making it happen. That's almost like a form of impeachment that you just can't have that happen. You can't just get a majority vote in the Congress. So the mechanism there is rather secure. Well, Kamala has that power, and the cabinet has that power, and I think that they would do it. I think if the problem is if they let anybody else step into that position. In other words, if they would have just waited till the convention, and it would have been open and anybody could have gotten it. And of course, all those people in the cabinet would have lost their jobs. This is why this is important to understand. The administration, all the people who have jobs behind President Biden are the ones who are, they're trying to protect their jobs. They're trying to stay in power. They are trying to maintain their access to power. So in the midst of all this, and this is, and government is their god. You have to understand, this is, they feel like they are in the institution of the hierarchy of the world here. They're drunk with this stuff. This stuff is intoxicating for people when they feel like they're in power. So, what apparently happened was, Obama was on this phone call and he said, we're all in consensus. We all agree you should step down. Kamala should step in as the candidate. We will see to it that she gets the delegates. However, they also, they're not motivated out of this idea that they're going to lose their democracy. That is not what's motivating. That's what they're telling you. Their motive is to protect their butts from investigations that they know Donald Trump is going to do. And they're trying to make it sound like he's going to be ruthless and, oh, it's dangerous, he's going to try to kill everybody. They're trying to paste this and post this and paint this as if it's something that's much, much bigger, much more horrible than it's going to be. Because so the people, when he starts to act on his investigations, that they'll say, oh, so he's coming after us, he's going to kill us all. He needs to be eliminated. I'd say this assassination attempt is not going to be the last one. I think there's going to be an escalation in this, and I don't think it's going to be such a... I think it's going to be much more blatant on the next one. They believe this man has to be eliminated because he's an existential threat to our democracy. In other words, he's going to ruin our country, and the only way to save our country is to kill Donald Trump. That's what they're implying here. They're taking it seriously. At least many of them are. And certainly the wacky left lunatics that are, you see them in TikTok, when they're beating their heads against the wall. Oh, Donald Trump, blah, blah, blah. They start literally hitting themselves in the head. These people are not sane. These people are not right in the head. There are some very sick people out there, and this gives them a sense of purpose to be against this guy. And they think that they're good people, their righteousness is welling up within them because they got to get rid of this guy because he's a danger to our society. So they become dangerous. Now, this phone call apparently also included a threat to Kamala, basically. Which generally, was you got to get some traction very quickly for the convention, or you're going to be out as well, or the convention is going to be open. Obama's running a show here at this point. He's the one making the decisions because he has the most to lose, because his entire legacy is going to be gone. Along with a lot of investigations about what's going on behind the scenes. Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, all these people who made decisions, especially on January 6th, all this other stuff that's been happening, it's all going to be exposed. Hopefully. That's the way it happens. The Democrat Party is going to have a really hard time. Not that they won't give up. Or not that they will give up. Not that they we'll keep trying. They're a mess. So this is where we're at. Like I said, there was a major civil war going on behind the scenes at the Democrat Party. There still is. That civil war is not over with yet. They have this little reprieve. Everybody's kind of trying to get united behind Kamala. But this is not going to last long, I guarantee you, because they're having to interact with her now. She went to a concert to give a speech. And the reason I'm saying it that way is because people showed up for this concert with these people. I've never heard of them before. Some lady who just twerks and whatever they do. I don't know. Some kind of singers, girl singers, whatever they are. They get up on stage and they're dancing around. They're doing a little concert. And she got up to make a speech afterwards. So there's a whole bunch of people there. They didn't show up to watch. They didn't show up for Kamala Harris. They showed up for this concert. In fact, many of them left after the concert. Didn't stick around to listen to her speak. And of course, they're all clapping and yelling at her. Some of her, she loves this kind of attention. It feeds. This woman has an ego that you would not. You think Donald Trump has an ego? This lady has an ego that is unchecked and unbridled, and it has just been waiting for this kind of attention. It is, you're going to see an absolute monster. Smiling, cackling, laughing monster. She is a hard leftist. Her parents were Marxists, by the way. Judge Joe Brown makes a very good comment. I think I played it yesterday about who her father really was. Now, he had a lot of respect for her father as a professor. Which is, you know, something to be respectful of. But his philosophy was definitely hard left, Marxist. Now, of course, some of his relatives were slave owners. Not that he's a slave owner. He doesn't need to pay reparations. But, you know, his family should. His dead family is no longer living. They should rise from the dead and pay for reparations. Now, Having said all of this, I just had chai just fly out of my cup there. What just happened there? I just saw a little drop. Must have popped out of my cup. I don't know what happened there. That didn't even happen. It's crazy stuff. This chai's got a mind of its own. It sure does taste good, though. I have... So the talking points all of a sudden, let's switch gears here a little bit. So the news media, if you don't think that they're all joined at the hip, and all their joining at the hips joins with the hips of the Democrat Party, the DNC, and everybody at the White House and this administration. Within 48 hours, it was counted that all the news media organizations and all the people in the all the pundits and everybody, Jen Psaki and everybody else. I'm going to play a little clip here, which is courtesy of Devin Gibson. Devin Gibson is a solid believing, Bible believing guy on YouTube. I subscribe to him. I think he's got like 1.2 million subscribers. And he's a really good guy, really good attitude. It always brings it back to the base of the gospel. Solid believer. And he really appreciate him. He plays this a lot. He has this show. This was like a 13-minute video. And about 6 minutes in, he starts playing this thing about the talking points of the left. And yeah, so all of a sudden everybody's using this word weird. It must have polled well in their little focus groups that they have. Because everybody's using it. And within 48 hours, the news media and all the pundits used the word weird, called the Trump administration and J.D. Vance weird 172 times within less than 48 hours, in less than 2 days. And it kind of all started with Kamala's speech, when she said, they're just weird. Yeah. And then the next day, Kamala is sitting down in a room on a set, talking about voting in a drag queen show. The set of a drag queen show. That's not weird. No, that's normal. That's, everybody does that. And this one, I think it might have been Sky News Australia. They have a lot of good stuff. Lefty's Losing is becoming a very popular show. But it's... or segment, I should say. They showed a picture of her sitting down there with the drag queens, and then a picture of J.D. Vance with his wife and three kids. Yeah, that's... which one's weird here? Oh, you're saying that drag queens are weird? Yeah, that's weird. It's weird. It's a weird activity. I can play you hours of clips of deranged, mentally ill, disturbed individuals who are, quote, trans, doing weird things, being violent, threatening violence. Because someone looks at them wrong. All right, so here's the clip of this. These people just using the weird word. Now, Devin might come in at the end here. I'm not sure how far this thing goes. We'll just keep playing it. Here we go. Oh, it's going to play.
Well, it's just plain weird.
These guys are just weird. That's where they are.
As weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
Super weird idea from J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's quite weird. They're just plain weird.
Just plain weird.
Everybody's getting this word.
Plain weird.
That stuff is weird. They come across weird, and then they start being weird. Yeah, they're weird.
Being a really weird.
He's such a weirdo.
Donald Trump and his weirdo running mate are weird. Deeply and profoundly weird.
They are weird.
These Republicans just being weird. It's just weird.
David Hogg.
Plain weird.
Republican weirdness goes even deeper.
Please, somebody.
That's Devin. They're just all using this, the word weird. It's like someone told them, hey, work the word weird into something that you're saying about the opponents. Because that name polled well. It struck a chord. So it just tells you that these people are talking behind the scenes, and they've been caught several times doing that. There's these calls that people get on CNN. I think it was it Zucker or whatever his guy's name was, that was head of CNN or head of one of the organizations, and he was doing this whole thing where he was having these calls every day, and it got infiltrated by Project Veritas. They've been listening in for like 60 days. And he finally gets on the line and says, hey, we've been listening to you for the last 60 days. We recorded everything. And they're just like, oh, okay, thanks for calling, and we'll get off the phone. Yeah, nothing to see here. Nothing weird about that, is there? They're all conspiring. And then they talk about conspiracy theories. Oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. Well, that's called conspiring, right? That's the definition of the word conspiring. Everybody getting on a phone call behind the scenes. Yeah. So we have that. Now, another thing this is hilarious. This is lefties losing it. He's a comedian, and he makes fun of... The more I think about this, the funnier it is. A brain. He makes it sound like it's a, you know, you got these weird commercials. And I actually do some of these, folks. I actually, as a voiceover artist, I'm not going to name the company, but I actually do some of these stuff. Like sort of like Abreva or whatever it is. It's just all these companies that are out there, you know, like Trintella. Trintella is, whatever. Trintella may cause, you know, diarrhea. I mean, Trintella may cause all these, you know, symptoms. They read off all this stuff. Loss of appetite, you know, thirst or urine. That's whatever all this stuff is. And this guy comes up with this medication. It's called a brain. now that I have a brain, you know, you need a brain. This is pretty funny. Let's play it because I just think it's funny.
I used to believe everything I'd see on the news, but that's before I discovered a brain.
A brain is meant for everyday use. Those
is the
living
kind of
with moderate to severe stupidity have seen immediate improvement in common sense with a brain.
I thought the government had my best interests at heart, and then a friend told me about a brain.
Talk to your doctor about what news sources you obey. A brain may also lower your desire to take life-altering advice from celebrities.
Getting lectured about my carbon footprint from people with 3 private jets used to make sense. But thanks to a brain, now I can think for myself every day. When my disregard for third grade biology began to flare up, I knew it was time for a brain.
Do not try a brain if you're allergic to a brain. Common side effects may include accountability, discernment, homeschooling your kids, a better understanding of economics, awareness of the stupidity of socialism, and diarrhea.
For tethering yourself to reality, the only no-brainer is choosing a brain. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you.
Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you. And the only thing I have to say about that, it was well done, very well done. Only thing I would critique is that the music was about 2 dB too high. It was just a little bit loud, but it was over the voiceover, but it was the vocal part of things. But other than that, it was great. Content was awesome. Diarrhea. You have to throw the diarrhea in there. Ask your doctor if a brain is right for you. Doctor, I've been thinking about this. Is a brain? What, you think I should get a brain? I think I should try a brain. That's pretty funny stuff, there, folks. You just got to admit that's pretty funny. Now, along with this, this is part of the same lefties losing it from Sky News Australia. Sky News Europe is leftist. Sky News Australia is very different. They are extremely conservative, right wing. Just down to earth. Everything about them. It's pretty much. Look, they got some people on there that I don't like it or don't agree with. But Randy Weingarten. I'm not sure if this. I think this woman is. I believe she's U.S. education and public services. I think she's U.S. individual, but this is the kind of she's leftist, no matter, regardless of which, and of course makes all the talking points of this existential threat that we have that's going to, you know, destroy our democracy. We've got to save our democracy. This woman is in charge of the public school system, I believe, possibly in Australia, but maybe the U.S. I've never seen this woman before. If she is in the U.S., I don't know who she is, but if she's much probably Australia, but. This is the typical kind of rant you will hear from someone in the U.S. as well. And the reason it just sounds way too much like it's in the U.S. So because of what she says. So let's see what she has to say. Now keep in mind, this is a woman who's in charge of our education, our public education system.
It is seldom. A dramatic
American Federation of Teachers president. She's the American Federation of Teachers. That's her.
Let's fascism in the door. The violence comes later.
She's talking about fascism, letting fascism in the door. The violence comes later. Folks, if you have not seen the kind of fascist rhetoric. They don't know what this is. A woman who's supposedly in charge of education does not know what fascism is. The fascists are the ones on the left, and I could go over this. I've been over this before, but I can go over it again, and I probably will. When you start telling people what they can and can't say, what is legal and not legal speech, when you start thinking that the government gives you your rights and we can take them away from you. Or we can give you more, then you're the fascist. Fascists don't recognize that you have rights that are outside of the government, that were not endowed by the government. They were endowed by your creator. You were born with these rights, regardless of what you believe about religion. That humans are born with these rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, freedom of speech, you know, the good stuff that we were born with. The government didn't give us these rights. And I've heard congressmen, right after the Obamacare, it's called Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was passed, one of the congressmen from the left got up and said, of all the rights that this Congress has given the people, this is one of the most important. I said, well, what rights have you given me? This is the arrogance that they think that they have, that the Congress has given them. Because government is their God. And they are the religion. Let's continue on with this. I keep interrupting this lady. Let her speak, because she'll condemn herself here. Just a little bit.
After they are voted in, when the history books are written about this moment, let them record that we the people united, mobilized, and voted down this existential threat to democracy and freedom, that we continued the march for progress, that we laid the foundation for a better future, and that we sought to create a more perfect union. Progress is possible. Keep marching.
Now, understand when she says progress, she used that term twice in that little rant that she had there. Progress is short for the word progressive. A more perfect union. We're progressing towards a more progressive, a more perfect union. Now, if you put flags out, this guy did a short the other day. Put out. It was very, very telling. I don't know who the guy was. He looked familiar, but I don't know who he was. He's walking down the street, and he looks back, and he goes, hey, you ever notice people put flags out in front of their house? You probably know who they're going to vote for. It's the people who have flags in front of their house that you probably know who they're going to vote for. wonder where that is. It's the people who have an understanding of the founding of this country, the founding of this nation. Well, it's racist. This nation was not founded on racism. Okay, it's been overblown into this thing of race. In fact, this nation was one of the first to abolish slavery. People fought and died for that to happen. It's the race baiters and the people who will never let it go, because that's how they make their living. That's how they maintain their power. Who will never bring reconciliation. I've talked about this yesterday. There's never going to be forgiveness. There's never going to be any moving on, because they continue to perpetuate it. They keep convincing you that you are down. You're being pressed down by the systemic racism in our country. And you've got a few brave souls like Jesse Lee Peterson, like many others. Alan West. That will come out and say, where's the racism? Show me the racism. Where is it systemically in our system? Exactly what is racist about it? Well, systemic racism. And their heads pop off, and they can't actually give you any explanation for that. Are there bigoted people? Yes, there absolutely are. Are they on both sides? Absolutely they are. You can't, supposedly black people can't be racist because they have no institutional power. Even when the president, the governor, the mayor, police chief are all black, but they have no institutional power. This happened many times while Barack Obama was president. We kept hearing that. Well, I have no institutional power. What does that actually mean? What are you talking about? It's just more gaslight, more baloney. It's just they have to perpetuate this. What would this world look like? What would the country be like if we all of a sudden could move past all of that, and it wouldn't exist? All of a sudden, there's no racism anymore. What would it look like? Well, there wouldn't be any white people. Because, you know, all white people are racist. That's what we're being told, that we are perpetually, because we're white, just because of the nature of our, just because of the color of our skin, that makes us racist. We're bad, evil people just because of the, you realize if that's what, that's exactly what the Ku Klux Klan was saying about people of color. They're evil. They're the sons of Cain or whatever. I don't know what they're. It's abhorrent. It's disgusting. From either side, from anybody who says it, anybody who thinks that they're superior or that someone else is inferior to them because they're the color of their skin. Martin Luther King understood that, Jr. He understood that. The content of your character, not the color of your skin. And unfortunately, the content of the character of most of the people who are perpetuating this idea are very, the content of the character is very ugly. It's disgusting and evil. It is not bringing about forgiveness, reconciliation, healing in our nation at all. And I still, to this day, will say, and I will say to my aunt, I hope it's put on my gravestone. We need to forgive each other. The African Americans were sinned against. What are we taught to do about that? Well, the Bible says get reparations. No, it doesn't say that. says something a little bit more about forgiveness. And as long as you're living in that bitterness, and it's, you know, you can ask for forgiveness from another individual. You can say if you did something wrong and you sinned against an individual, and you can ask them for forgiveness. If they don't forgive you, it's on them now. You can walk away in peace. Unfortunately, it's not total peace. It's not 100% peace because you haven't been reconciled. You haven't been rejoined with that individual. That there's a relationship lost, sadly, because the other individual did not reciprocate and forgive you. They're not obligated to. You don't have to. Go about your life, live in your bitterness, live in your unforgiveness. See how that works out for you. You're free to do that. But you can go on continuing to blame all the problems the rest of your life on that person who did you wrong. And the only person doing wrong in reality is what you're doing to yourself. You are choosing to live in the swaller, the pigsty of your unforgiveness. And we'll see how that works out for you. See how that goes. Because you're going to be so focused on your hatred and your bitterness and your revenge, your retribution that you want to see on your enemy. And you will not have a chance to move forward in your life. So, Shabbat Shalom. Hey, this is, that's kind of a heavy thought. I realize, I'm sorry. I just didn't mean to get so heavy here on a Friday. But that's the way it is. That's the state of our union. I want to spend the last little bit here talking about Donald Trump and his masterful and yet just typical Donald Trump event here with the girls, the ladies here at the Black Journalists Association. National Association of Black Journalists, that's what it's called, I guess. And then they ask him what black jobs are. They think that's silly. What are black jobs? Well, all of you who are here who are journalists, they have jobs that are black, that'll be a black job. I guess, what's a black journalist? I guess we could ask that question. Black job, black journalist. I mean, it just the whole thing is just so stupid. It's why do you make fun of that term, black jobs? When you guys have jobs that you consider to be, you want to be exclusive, and then when we exclude you, you think that that's racist. What? Kind of put yourself in your own bucket there, didn't you? It's not just journalists. It's black journalists. You're defining yourself there. You're putting yourself in that own, your own box, your own pigeonhole. So, now, can you imagine having an organization, the National Association of White Journalists? That wouldn't go over well, would it? Do you see the irony here? Well, it's because we're a minority. We have minority status. Yeah, it's called you have special rights. That's what that is, special rights. It's group rights. You have rights that I don't have. You can do something I can't do. And yet, I'm the one with all the institutional power. That's the whole reason you have your special rights is because I have institutional power of some kind. So now you have rights that I don't have. See the irony here, how ridiculous this is, and the way it keeps us separated and divided as a nation. Just saying. So, Donald Trump sits down with his first lady, the lady in blue. She's the first one who asks him questions. And of course, she doesn't say, thank you for being here. Thank you for your time. Sorry that we apologize for the delay in getting started. Because they started 35 minutes late. He gave them an hour of his time. They started 35 minutes late. And then they're pushing him on getting him in to answer questions quickly. What? It's your fault. So here we go. This is the first leading in question. I think this is the first. And of course, some of her responses throughout this whole thing is very telling about where she's at. So let's see.
An hour of your time.
She does say that.
I want to start by addressing the elephant in the room, sir.
He's the elephant in the
room. A lot of people did not think it was appropriate for you to be here today. You have pushed false claims about some of your rivals, from Nikki Haley to former President Barack Obama, saying that they were not born in the United States, which is not true. You have told four Congress.
So she knows this definitively, which is not true. But by the way, who started that? Hillary Clinton was the one who said that Barack Obama was not a U.S. citizen. Hillary Clinton was the one who started the whole birth certificate thing. Donald Trump just followed up with it. Hillary Clinton started that when she was running against Barack Obama in 2008. That's who started that. Oh, but all of a sudden she was the candidate. She was the perfect woman in the world. She's the most overqualified person. Blah, 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 blah. Even though she was the one. They never asked her that question. Why did you start that? Never asked her that question. Never.
First women of color who were American citizens to go back to where they came from. You have used words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser.
But by the way, he also has called white people those questions, those things as well. He uses those terms because that's what he does. That's what he does.
Words like animal and rabbit to describe black district attorneys. You've attacked black journalists, calling them a loser, saying the questions that they ask are, quote, stupid and racist. You've had dinner with a white supremacist at your Mar-a-Lago resort.
Who, by the way, he didn't know was a white supremacist and was someone brought him. I think what was the guy's name? Was invited and brought a guest. Donald Trump didn't know who the guest was, didn't invite the guest. He just showed up.
Had dinner with a white supremacist.
Yeah. So my question, sir, now that you are asking black supporters to vote for you, why should black voters trust you after you have used language like that?
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever been asked a question so in such a horrible manner, a first question. Yeah. You don't even say, hello, how are you? Are you with ABC? Because I think they're a fake news network, a terrible network. And I think it's disgraceful that I came here in good spirit. I love the black population of this country. I've done so much for the black population of this country.
People are clapping.
Including employment, including opportunity zones with Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, which is one of the greatest programs ever for black workers and black entrepreneurs. I've done so much, and and I say this, historically black colleges and universities were out of money, they were stone cold broke, and I saved
he did
them,
more
he gave them
absolutely
long-term finance.
He absolutely did more for the black colleges, if you want to call them that, for like black jobs, black colleges, everything there is black, the buildings are all black, everything's black. Yes, he has done absolutely more than anybody, more than anything Barack Obama ever did in 8 years. There were some black colleges that were probably going to fail. They were going to go under. And he endowed them for many, many years because of the status that they have now. It's not government funding. It's their ability to get grants and loans and everything else. The whole system was brilliant.
I think it's a very rude introduction. I don't know exactly why you would do something like that. And let me go a step further. I was invited here, and I was told my opponent, whether it was Biden or Kamala, I was told my opponent was going to be here. It turned out my opponent isn't here. You invited me under false pretense. And then you said, you can't do it with Zoom.
But he's afraid of Kamala.
Well, where's Zoom? She's going to do it with Zoom, and she's not coming. And then you were half an hour late, just so we understand. I have too much respect for you to be late. They now, couldn't get there.
He's looking at the people when he says, I have too much respect for you to be late. In other words, he's looking at the people saying, I respect the people here. I'm not going to show up late. Now, in Chicago, that is not an easy thing. Trump has to fly in. I assume he went to O'Hare. Flies in. Gets driven downtown, which, by the way, can take 2 hours sometimes, depending on the traffic. Now, maybe he went on. Maybe he got in a helicopter and went downtown. Maybe that's a possibility. I don't know. But that's what. However, he got there. I don't know if that. I'm not so sure. I would fly in a helicopter. A lot of world leaders go down in helicopters. Mysteriously. And I just don't know that I would do that. But he has to show up. He has to be there all day. This is an all day thing for him. To do an hour like that. Now he can probably get out of town pretty quickly and get everything done and just get on his way and get going. But it's leading up to that, in order to be there, to be punctual in Chicago is not an easy task. Just put it that way.
Equipment working or something
Mr.
was
President,
wrong.
I would love
I think
you
it's
can
a very nasty question.
Wow.
I have answered the question. I have
years.
Been the best president for the black population since Abraham Lincoln.
That's my answer. Better than President Johnson who signed
answer.
The Voting Rights Act.
And for you to start off a question,
the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act is nothing. The bulk of the Voting Rights Act, 90% of it is voter ID. Which the black population has no problem with when you poll them. Almost 80% of the black population believes there should be voter ID.
In an answer period, especially when you're 35 minutes late because you couldn't get your equipment to work in such a hostile manner, I think it's a disgrace.
Let me just ask a follow-up, sir, and then we'll move on to other questions here. Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a definition then.
That's literally the words. That's not the definition. So this is, she doesn't understand. You have to define something. Define Homeland Security. Well, it's Homeland Security. No. In order to define it, you can't use the words that you have there. What's the definition of the word obtuse? Well, it's something that's obtuse. No. You have to define the word obtuse. You can't. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm getting at here? She doesn't understand this. He's asking her to define diversity, equity, and inclusion. Define what that is. What he's trying to get her to do is say, it's the hiring of someone based on their skin color. Oh. Was she hired based on her skin color? Absolutely she was. Joe Biden said he's restricting his choice of VP to a black woman. In other words, doesn't matter how qualified you are, you have to be a black woman. That's the litmus test to be his VP. That's diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's DEI hire, period. Because you're basing it on race and gender. Nothing else. The most qualified black woman, of course, and she's not black. She's not African-American. Call her what you want. She's brown. And by the way, black people aren't black either. They're just darker brown. It's just, and there are people from Africa who are not very brown, very dark at all. People from Egypt, Egypt is in Africa, it's on the continent, and they're not very dark. So what shade is considered African-American? Well, you have to be African. Anyway, let's continue.
Give me a definition of that. Give me a definition
sir,
of that.
Sir, I'm asking you a question,
no, you
a very
have to
direct
define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
I
will.
Just defined it, sir. Do you believe that Vice President
She didn't
Kamala
define
Harris
it. All she said is what the words mean, what the letters stand for. You're not defining it. This is idiotic. He's trying to have an actual conversation with her here, and she's not doing that.
Only on the ticket because she is a black woman.
Well, I can say, no, I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She is always identified as a black woman.
She is not always identified as a black woman. Whether you identify as a black woman. She is not always identified as a black woman. She identified as Indian. Judge Joe Brown made this very clear. And he doesn't have a dog in this race because he's not a Trump supporter. He knows her father very well. This is this is the kind of thing where she starts defending. This is where you know that these people are not non-biased. They're not objective. They're subjective. They are very one-sided. They have an agenda, and they're coming after you because they're defending the person that they're asking questions about. The objective reporter has such a huge advantage over these kinds of people because they actually can ask questions and get good answers. They can go deep, and the person doesn't feel threatened by their activity. Whether you're on the left or the right, an objective reporter can make you feel threatened if you're asking the right questions, and it's not a political attack. It's a digging attack. This is a political attack.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't. Because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
you think somebody should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone?
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans have said?
I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Could be. There are some, and there are plenty. I know this lady right over there, Harris, is a fantastic person who just interviewed me at length. And we had a great interview, I think, and I heard you got very good ratings on that interview.
Well, you told me it was the longest one of your life, so we had a good discussion. Look, I want to talk about why you're here today. I mean, it is not
all right,
lost
let's move on.
How divided we are.
This, I want to move on to where this blue lady asks her another question. Harris asked some pretty good questions. This lady talks about this. The next one talks about, Harris asked some questions and somebody else asked some questions. And she talks about immunity for police officers. There's some interesting things about the police immunity. What is it called? Something immunity. Qualified immunity. If a police officer is acting according to police, you know, according to policy, company policy, they basically are given immunity to any kind of accidental whatever happens to them. They can't be charged with anything because they're acting under police under their authority as a police officer and what all that kind of stuff. Now, the problem with this is you get some officers out there who are bullies, and they power goes to their heads. You can watch clips of this on YouTube all day long. It happens every day. You get police officers who don't care about your rights. They don't like these people who say, "Well, am I being detained? Can I go? You know, you're conducting an investigation. Have I done anything wrong? Have I broken the law?" And of course, they'll say, "I don't think you can film me. You can't film me." Yes, I can, sir. They'll quote the statute and the law that they can, you know, record the police officer. And the police officer still says, "No, you can't record me right now. You can't record. Can't take a picture of this building. You can't stand on the sidewalk. Move along. Whatever it is." And you'll get these ridiculous officers that do this kind of thing. And they make all the other officers that actually are there to protect you and to protect your rights, they make them all out to be idiots when you get that kind of a person that does that kind of thing. Most officers are appalled by that kind of activity or that kind of attitude from lawyers or from officers. So it is one of those things that it is very what's the word? Damaging to the rest of the officers that are out there, and causes a lot of disrespect among officers. So, in the process of all that, Donald Trump has promised to give more immunity to officers. Now, there are other cases, I think more so on the other side, where officers are sometimes mistreated because of things that they'll do. They're in a situation where they're, you know, it's they have to make a split second decision. They have to do whatever it is that they have to do, that they're trying to defend, you know, trying to do their jobs, and they get their hands tied by all the litigation that comes down after them after they do something that they were literally trying to do their job, and they just, you know, made a mistake or whatever happened, thinking that the person had a gun and they had a phone. Those are the kind of things. You know, we ask them to do an awful lot. We ask them to put their lives on the line, basically. They're putting themselves into positions, into situations that are dangerous. Now, you try stopping a car, walking up behind it at night, and all of a sudden, I just saw one this morning. The guy had an automatic machine gun, started blasting through his back window. His cop car pulls him over. Car stops. One officer had just gotten out of his car. Machine gun fire lit up inside the car and was blasting back at them through the back window. So they shot holes in the radiator, everything else. One of the officers was hit. The car speeds off, and they actually end up getting back in the car and taking off after the car. They're in shock. And they probably should have just stayed there. They should have probably driven to the hospital, something. At that point. But they took off after them. Of course, you're in shock at that point. I realize, you know, there's kind of a weird reaction when you get in that kind of situation. You don't always make the best decisions. So, the president is interested in giving more immunity to folks, and I think that's admirable. At the same time, I'm not so sure that it's the best choice. So let's see if I can find. There's something else here where the I'm trying to skim through this. Let's talk about this thing about families.
He's not talking here about how great it is to be a parent. He's attacking what he says are the choices people are making to not have children. Did you know that he had these views about people who do not have children before you picked him to be your running mate? And do you agree with him?
No, I know this. He is very family oriented, and he thinks family is a great thing. That doesn't mean he thinks that if you don't have a family, it's not. I know people with families. I know people with great families. I know people with very troubled families. And I also know people with no families. They didn't meet the right person. Things happen. You go through life, you don't meet the right person.
But he's not just talking about families here.
And
he also says that
people
that don't have children should get less votes than those that do.
I'm just speaking for myself.
Is that your campaign
I think
position?
I'm speaking for him, too. He strongly believes in family. But I know people with great families. I know people with not great families that don't have a family, and the people without the family are far better. They're superior in many cases, okay? He's not saying they're not. What he's saying is that he thinks the family experience is a very important thing. It's a very good thing. But that doesn't mean that if you grow up and you grow older and you don't meet somebody that would be wonderful to meet and would have been good, that that's a bad thing. He's not saying that. My interpretation, you'll have to ask him, actually, but my interpretation is he's strongly family-oriented, but that doesn't mean if you don't have a family, there's something
he kind of rambles on this
point. Just one last point, and then we'll move on. Just one of the bedrock principles of American life is one person, one vote. Senator J.D. Vance has suggested that someone who has children should have more votes than a person who does not have children. I just want to be clear here. Is that the position of your campaign?
Well, no, but it's not something I have ever heard before. I can tell you
when somebody makes a statement like that, sometimes they'll say,
aliens coming into our country, many from prisons and many from
mental
institutions, and they want to give them votes. I don't think they should have votes. They came into our country illegally, and they're taking the vote away from all of the people.
People who are only American citizens are allowed to vote. We hear this all the time. Every time somebody comes up with illegal, a poll was just done recently. Interesting poll. 10% of the people in this country, nine point something percent. This is from Rasmussen. We're determined that they voted and they either are not citizens or are not sure they're citizens. So you can come to this country, you can actually get Social Security card, you can get all this benefits. And because you're on a working visa or whatever you're on, so you end up with a Social Security. You can actually end up getting Social Security benefits because of the taxes you've paid in, because you paid in Social Security system as a foreign worker. And you're not a citizen. And you can actually get – so these people are confused about whether or not they are or not, are not a citizen of the U.S. So they're not sure. Not sure of their U.S. citizenship status. And they voted in federal elections. Up to 10% of them in many of the polls that they were taking. Now, interestingly enough, many of the people they polled said they voted for Trump. They said an overwhelming majority said they voted for Trump. This makes me question the poll altogether. How many illegal immigrants do you know of who would come here and vote for Republican at all? There's something really strange about this poll. But it's shocking that many would say that they're not citizens. That's why I think there's something wrong with the poll. See, most people who know they're not a citizen who said they voted in a federal election, why would they confess to committing a felony? Maybe they don't know it's a felony. Something's really screwy about this. However, I would not be surprised that 10% of the people who voted in this country were people who were either not citizens or... And all they do is say, it's not legal for people to vote. Yeah, that's the point. It's not legal, and they're doing it. It's like Alex Stein who questioned somebody about, since it hasn't been legal for people to vote in this country since 1995. How do you know? Because there's no voter ID. When we have hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have come out and said, yeah, I showed up at this house. We bought this house like 2 years ago, and we got like five different mail-in ballots for the same person here who used to live here at this address. We received five of them. And then we received some others from other people who don't even live here. When you're sending out multiple, now, of course, supposedly you're only supposed to send one. But see, when they can say, well, we sent out 250,000 mail-in ballots. Well, how many of those were duplicates? Well, we only got back 200,000. Oh, yeah, but only 100,000 people were actually real people. See, this is where the fraud happens. This is where the investigation needs to take place. Someplace there's a record of how many, the postage that was paid to send these mail-in ballots out there. Somebody just clicks on the particular individuals they're sending these out to. And next thing you know, you got all of these ballots in circulation out there that can be harvested. This is the problem we run into. We're talking about in states where the election was turned by 10,000 or fewer votes in some cases. Georgia was less than 10, I think it was 11,000 or 12,000 votes in Georgia that would have swung the election. Pennsylvania wasn't very many more either. And you have tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands. When you have more people voting than you have registered voters, for some reason that makes my eyebrows go up because, folks, we have never had a 100% turnout of registered voters in this country ever. And when you have more than 100% of the people show up, when you have one candidate who gets more votes than any other candidate has ever gotten from their party, and the other candidate gets more than any candidate has ever gotten, ever, in the same election, in any other case, Donald Trump would have been a landslide victory, the number of votes that he got. But the other guy got more. Millions more votes. It doesn't raise any questions. It's not really, we're just supposed to believe this was rock solid, locked in, best election, most secure election ever? These are just people who just have no clue. Let's continue on here with this because I think it's important.
That have been here a long time, that have worked hard, that in many cases, and you'll see this happening, if I'm not elected, you're going to see it happening. If I am, you're not going to have any problem. But you're going to see it happening a long time. You're going to see the people in this room and people outside of this room are going to be losing their jobs to people that have come into this country illegally.
Mr. President, can we stay with just kind of the state of the race right now? Because I felt like...
Graduated in 2 years. They have a beautiful family.
Attempted assassination.
To your point and to Rachel's point, he, you know, has a lot of opinions about childless women like my...
...in the 8th and 9th... Ronald Reagan...
Oh, here we go. This is...
I think they're...
He's going to talk about abortion here. This is the last point I want to make.
I think that the Democrat Party is really the one that has the problem. I think they're radical on abortion because they're allowing abortion in the 9th month. They're allowing the death.
But I think it's
they're allowing
freedom,
the death of a baby after the baby is born, based on
governor of Virginia.
That is illegal in every state in the country. She says that is illegal in every state of the country. May I remind you, right here, the former governor of Virginia was trying to instate and still trying to push for post-birth abortion. The former governor of Virginia. Yeah, he's a Democrat, and that's what he was pushing for. Still is. You think he's the only one in the Democrat Party who wants to push that? Oh, it's illegal everywhere. Why do you recoil? Why do you repulse so much to that? The thought of that idea. Why are you so adamant about? Why do your teeth gnash at that so much? Because it repulses you, doesn't it? You don't want anybody to know that's really your agenda. Post-birth abortion. The child is born, and you want to kill it. Partial birth abortion is sickening to my stomach when you find out what they do. Any abortion is sickening when you find out what they do. But realistically, post-birth abortion is just pure evil. We need to pray. This country needs to be on its knees right now. There are some very bad actors out there trying to do what they're trying to do. And I guess at this point, it is rather questionable what kind of things that the left will try to pull between now and November, or between November and January 20th, when the next president is sworn in. They are ruthless. They are deranged. They are crazy. The things that they continue to say. I just heard this morning one of the lieutenants of the Capitol Police, who got fired immediately after because he was trying to tell the truth about what happened that day. He's now a vigilant, he's a very vigilant Trump supporter now. But he said all day, 24 hours a day, all they have on in their office there for the Capitol Police is CNN all day, all day long. It plays continuously. So all they hear is CNN all the time. And they're being, you know, this is, they just consider that to be the authoritative word. And if you've listened to it for any length of time at all, you'll realize these people are deranged. Things that they're giving you, it amazes me that anybody listens to it at all. But it's same thing in the airports. When I travel, it's like CNN is almost everywhere. So, I guess that's where we are. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news or the bearer of difficult darkness, but I certainly don't want to paint the situation with rose-colored glasses either, because I don't know if you can paint with rose-colored glasses. But anyway. Let's just continue to move forward, not in a progressive way, but in a hopefully constructive way, if that's such a word. I don't know. Folks, I just want to thank you for listening, for putting up with me. By the way, we had somebody listening from Saudi Arabia the other day. I was kind of surprised about that. Just God bless you. Anyway, take care, folks. God bless. Have a great weekend.